Finding Christ in Cinema and the Great Commission Transmission Network is made possible by the support of listeners like you. To learn more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. On this episode of Finding Christ in Tom Hanks Films, we glide into the Hudson and save 155 souls as we look for Christian themes in Sully. How miraculous is the miracle on the Hudson? How is being a savior a part of Sully's second nature? All that and more in 3, 2, 1. Hey, come on in. Admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 129. I'm Michael.
And I'm Brendan.
Join us, and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation and ultimately our Christian walk. You're tuned in to Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
I'm excited today.
Me too.
What is it? Finding Christ in
Tom Hanks Films.
Yes, it's been a while since we have done that. But Brandon, what did we talk about last week?
Last week we talked about the J.J. Abrams, Steven Spielberg super film. Super 8.
It was a super film.
It really was.
And some great Christian themes in there.
I thought so.
Did you have any addendums, afterthoughts? Oh, and another thing.
No, not for me.
No. We nailed it.
Yeah, we got
listeners,
it.
If you haven't heard us talk about Super 8, get over to ChristInCinema.com and find it right there on the front page, as well as all 129 episodes of Finding Christ in Cinema.
That's right.
We are firmly ensconced in our time slot on Thunder Radio.
Ensconced.
Yeah.
I like that.
Your hometown station.
That's right.
All of our new listeners on that are tuning in to 107.9 FM or 1320 AM, welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. And we have a huge back catalog of films. We can guarantee that we've covered your favorite film.
We can guarantee it. It's going to be huge.
It's going to be huge.
It's going to be huge.
What are we talking about this week, Brendan?
This week, like you said, this is Finding Christ and Tom Hanks Films. And this is really one of his best performances, I would say. This is his
dramatic
film. Clint Eastwood directed, produced. We're talking about Sully. We are talking about Sully. Finally, we are talking about Sully.
Should we go into the theater or the airplane viewing movie thing, whatever they call that?
The theater is much more comfortable.
With your soda and your...
And the popcorn.
And your Thin Mints? Or
and the Thin... No, not Thin Mints. Junior Mints.
Are you ready to go?
Yeah.
Here we are.
Texas 1549, runway 4, clear for takeoff.
Sully, we're too low. Sully,
where are you?
No one warned us. No one said you were going to lose both engines at a lower altitude than any jet in history. This was dual engine loss at 2,800 feet, followed by an immediate water landing with 155 souls on board. No one has ever trained for an incident like that.
Our job is to investigate how a plane ended up in the Hudson River.
On the Hudson.
It's not a crash. It was a forced water landing.
Simulation showed that you could make it back to the airport.
Not possible. I felt it go. My aircraft.
Your aircraft.
I want you to know I did the best I could.
Of course you did. You saved everyone.
People call you a hero.
I don't feel like a hero.
Show us your case, Super Sally.
There's been too much talk in the press already.
I'm overwhelmed by all this attention.
The left engine was still operating.
What if I didn't get this wrong? What if I endangered the lives of all those passengers?
I got an A320 diving for the river.
You did everything you could. It was more than enough.
When was your last drink, Captain Solenberg? Have you had any troubles at home?
This is the captain. Brace for impact.
What?
Brace! Heads down! Stay down!
There were
55 people on that plane. And you were one of them.
Over 40 years in the air. But in the end, I'm going to be judged on 208 seconds. I need a count, passengers and crew.
Is anyone still here?
Wow.
Man. Oh. I've never seen that trailer. I never saw that.
And just hearing it.
Yes. Oh, especially with the stewardesses going, brace. Heads down, stay down.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
The drama.
That was chills right there,
yes.
Man.
Yes.
That was chills.
John Wilkerson, our friend from over at strugglingforpurpose.com and Tend the Podcast, he's the one that said, hey, it's available now. You guys must cover Sully. More Finding Christ in Tom Hanks films. And I didn't know what to expect. I mean, I had seen the trailers or the teasers going up, and I knew, oh, wow, that's quite the story. And I do remember that landing on the Hudson. I remember seeing that on the news as it had just happened. And but I was thinking, how can you make a movie, a whole movie out of that? And boy, did Clint Eastwood make a whole movie.
Man.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay, you hadn't seen it in the theater, Brendan?
Nope. Now I wish I had. I regret that I didn't. I really regret that.
Could
I
you
did
imagine
not see
on the big screen and the surround sound and the junior mints and the What'd you think?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. I loved what I really loved, just from a filmmaker perspective.
Yeah.
I really loved that it showed the event of the crash. But then it kept going back to the present moment. It kept going back to Sully in the aftermath of the crash and how he's dealing with it. And that's what the story really was all about.
Yes.
But I seriously think it's just more interesting to not only see the actual crash, but to see all the different scenarios that he was imagining.
And his fears and
his fears.
Because nightmares.
Yeah. And this movie really is about the struggle within Sully himself as a character of whether or not he did the right thing. and I love that I'm jumping ahead here, but I love that in the climax of the film, he seriously decides, you know what? I did do the right thing. I don't care what this council says.
Yeah.
I don't care what this interrogation says, what this investigation says. I don't care. I know I did the right thing. And when he goes back into the conference, He's like a brand new man.
It's so wonderful when he does say, I need to take a break after listening to the cockpit. And we were able to see the full thing play out at that point in the movie. Mm-hmm. Right at the end, that's when they showed it from beginning to end, the flight. And he goes out and his co-pilot goes out with them. That was a fantastic scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we did a good thing.
And even then, just to speak more on Sully's character, even then, he is eccentric.
Oh!
As in,
a crazy man?
No, Michael. As in, the center of his universe is not himself. He is off-center. He is focused on Skiles. He is focused on his friend, Jeff. And he says, you know what? You were great out there. You were great. You really pulled
through.
We make a great team. And even when he makes that defense at the end of the case, he says, no, it wasn't just me.
Right.
Because the woman, I forget her name, forgive me, but she says, you know, there's only one unknown factor in this scenario, and it's you. If you were not there, Sully, then none of this would have happened. And then Sully responds with, no, it wasn't just me.
Well, she says, without you, the math doesn't work.
The math doesn't work. And he says, no, it wasn't just me. It was this whole team. It was my team on the plane. It was New York's finest coming out to the rescue after the landing, the forced landing. It was a team effort. And that's just so beautiful.
Yeah.
So good. So good. And I'm so glad Tom Hanks got to do it.
Only
Tom Hanks.
The first 15 minutes of this film, already, I mean, if you're not moved by this film, check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yes, yes.
Because this is high drama, is it? Am I right?
I would say so.
Did the hens come home to roost anywhere in this film?
They did when Sully realizes that he did do the right thing.
It's timing. He felt all along, I could feel the plane. I know what was going on. Well, prove it, because our numbers and our scenarios, our computer simulations and you know, running all the algorithms and all that, they say you didn't. Mm-hmm. You didn't know what you felt. In fact, you felt wrong. And that was causing that doubt, I mean, to where he's talking to his wife, what if I did do the wrong thing? And I put all those people's lives in danger.
And, you know, and it just goes to show that there's a difference when someone naturally and spontaneously
combust. Nobody spontaneously combusts in this film.
No, thank goodness.
Okay.
Except for that left engine. But even that wasn't
spontaneous. That wasn't spontaneous.
Well, it was the birds. But anyway.
I was expecting there to be a mummy on board.
That's a different movie.
Goodness.
Anyways, back to the point. It just shows that there's a difference between someone who is naturally trying to feel their way through something and someone who has a second nature and using that second instinct.
Oh, but you're jumping right into the Christian themes.
I haven't even given any shout outs. I got to tease it out real quick. Oh, well, Tom Hanks, of course.
FCC's very own Tom beloved Hanks.
Yes.
Tom Hanks as Chesley.
Yes.
Sorry, Sully Sullenberger. We'll just call him Sully. What else could be said? We have talked, I don't know how many Tom Hanks films we have done. That is why you can either call Finding Christ in cinema or Finding Christ in Tom Hanks films. Mm-hmm. They're interchangeable. We believe that we have had Tom Hanks more often than any other actor.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, unless you count Harry Potter films, I don't know.
Well, you know.
We'll have to count up how many Tom Hanks films.
And if we were going to do an ebook, we could do a good, nice, full ebook on Tom Hanks films. You know,
did he just say that? Tom Hanks, a master of the craft. But how about FCC's very own Aaron Eckhart?
Yes.
Harvey Dent.
Aaron Two-Face Harvey Dent Eckhart.
Yes. Oh. He was fantastic in this film.
Yes. If I had to do it differently, I would have done it in July.
Great comic relief. But also what I really love is the whole entire time, the confidence that he has in Sully. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no question. I mean, he never even wavers.
Mm-hmm.
He never even wavers. Well, we need to find out, says the review board, the investigating board, how an airplane landed in the Hudson. Yep. Landed on the Hudson. It was not in. It was on.
That's right.
On fleek.
Oh, no. Don't say that. No.
All right.
No.
Who else?
Really quickly, Mike O'Malley.
Okay, is he a good villain? He's a villain in this movie.
He's not a villain.
He's the villain.
He's an antagonist.
I wanted the airplane to fall on him.
We're just going to disagree with this.
He's a villain.
He's not a villain. He's an antagonist. But he does his job well.
He's a good antagonist.
Okay, there you go. And then, of course, Anna Gunn playing. Okay, Michael O'Malley played Charles Porter. Anna Gunn plays his colleague, Elizabeth Davis, and she brings it home.
Yeah,
I think so, especially when she gives her personal opinion at the end of the case.
Yes.
You know, which we already talked about, saying, you know.
We already gave away the end. We didn't even do a spoiler alert.
Sorry.
Oh, too late.
Oh, come on.
If you haven't seen Sully, stop the podcast, the show, turn off the radio now, go watch it.
Well, there you go. It
doesn't work on radio, though.
No, of course not. But if you like Breaking Bad, Anna Gunn plays Skyler White, Walt's wife. That's where I knew her from. But anyway,
you know what I say?
Who? Old Skyler? I don't know
anything about it.
But hey, there's also FCC's very own Laura Linney.
She's FCC's very own?
She is.
How?
Haven't we done?
I don't know.
Yes, we have.
What?
Yes, we have. Hold on. Give me.
He's got to look up something.
I
got
to look it up. But playing Lorraine. Lorraine, Sully's wife.
Yes.
Lorraine Sullenberger.
What do you think about her delivery?
It was
believable.
Really good. I thought so.
Yep.
Yeah. Especially because, and the thing, we don't get to see Sully and his wife together. It's only on phone.
Hey.
It's only on phone conversations.
That's right. And that one conversation near the end where she calls him, I mean, he's in, you know, all the drama's playing out right now for him, but she calls him and she has to talk to him. And she says, I just realized there were 155 people on board that airplane, and you were one of them. Mm-hmm. We could have lost you. Mm-hmm. And all this mayhem and all this craziness, I forgot the main and the plane things. Right?
Yep.
Great, yep. Great performance.
She was in Arthur Christmas.
As?
As the computer voice.
Oh, brother. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
We talked about Arthur Christmas during this past Christmas season, listeners. So go to ChristianCinema.com and you can hear the FCC's very own Laura Linney as the computer voice.
That's right.
Great. Anything else?
No, that's it.
You have to watch this film, folks.
You have to. It's so beautifully done, beautifully crafted, mm-hmm. as a film itself. So even if you're not as invested in the characters as we are, or invested as the plot, you'll still be able to enjoy it just because of its cinematic craft.
Yes, and as John Wilkerson said when he recommended that we talk about this film, says it's loaded with Christian themes, mm-hmm. and boy, is it loaded with Christian themes. It's hard to even know where to begin, but we might as well begin at the beginning, right?
Go ahead.
Yeah, if you want to start something, it's always best to start at the beginning.
Isn't that from Willy Wonka?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Is it? All right. Whatever happens, fly the plane. See, there's two ways that I want to hit this film. And I'm going to focus on Sully. And one of the ways is that he's discipled to look like Jesus. Jesus is all over this film. And how was Jesus all over this film? The passengers were saved via water by the sacrifice and faithfulness of Sully. He's an amazing character, and to watch at the end of the film in the credits where they splice in footage of the real life Sully, mm-hmm. and you look at him, go, that's what this man is all about. Captain Sully, at the beginning of the film, he wakes up from a nightmare, and he's distraught mm-hmm. and distracted, and he has to go out and run and try mm-hmm. and run out these anxieties and things that are going on inside. And, it starts with this plane crash mm-hmm. with him flying and the plane crashing into the building. But that was his nightmare. Mm-hmm. That was his anxieties. That was his fears. That's what could have happened if I didn't land on the water. That's what his brain's saying. That's what would have happened. Mm-hmm. But would it have? Those are those doubts that we're talking about going on. Then after his run and he gets cleaned up and he has to go in, he and his co-pilot go in and sit with this review board to see exactly what happened.
Thank you, Captain Sullenberger, for being here today. We also want to welcome First Officer Skiles. Glad you could make it in this morning.
Not as glad as we are.
For the record, we had an aircraft systems team in this investigation, also aircraft structures, MRT, aircraft performance, ATC, wildlife factors, survival factors, and emergency response. Today, we begin with our operation and human performance investigation on the crash of U.S. Airways Flight 1549.
Water landing.
Captain?
This was not a crash, and it wasn't a ditching. We knew what we were trying to execute here. It was not a crash. It was a forced water landing.
He's got to make sure that everybody's on the same page with what he experienced. And already, right off the get-go, they are not on the same page. Mm-hmm. But let's get back to these anxieties that he has. Even though he is being forceful in making sure that we're clear. This mm-hmm. was not a crash. We didn't ditch the plane. It was a landing. Mm-hmm. A forced landing. But a landing nonetheless. Before he got into this meeting, the last thing that he did was he was watching a news report, and it was one of the passengers.
Yeah.
And what did she say? She's talking to the reporters, and she says, "You think you're going to die. That's what you think. And then, miraculously, you don't. Thank you, Captain. Thank you. Thank you." Mm-hmm. There's that word, miraculously. It's already being touted from the very beginning by some people as a miracle that they survived. No, this was a water landing. We knew what we were trying to execute. Let's be clear on that. And then talking, the birds took out both engines, and one of the guys on the board says that that's unprecedented. What's Sully say? Everything is unprecedented until it happens for the first time. You don't usually think of things like that. Nothing has happened before until it happens for the first time.
Right.
He has a flashback in the movie, and it's after right at the end of a interview with Katie Couric, which you're going to cover a little bit later on.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a flashback to when he was a kid as he's learning to fly. And he and his instructor, who is a really neat character, too bad he was only in for that short.
That one little scene.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whoever that actor is, great actor.
Yeah.
That was a great scene. And you can, they're flying, and his instructor says, the plane's yours, take it. And so, okay, here's Sully, young Sully, teenage Sully. He's in control of this plane, and he's got to take it down and land it. Everything's great. And so they get off the plane, and his instructor, he has some words of encouragement and advice.
Yeah. It was obvious. It was a critical situation.
Oh, that's yours. Let's not play yours. He's got some advice.
I'll be busy crop dusting in the Super Cub rest of summer, so you can take the plane up, I guess, when you please. Still $6 an hour, I'll consider it lesson time. Pilot never stops acquiring knowledge. You'll make mistakes. Everyone does. Just learn from them.
Yes, sir.
And never forget, no matter what's happening, to fly the airplane.
Absolutely, sir.
Oh, one other thing. This is important.
Sir?
You can go ahead and smile.
All right.
I think, Brendan, that this is one of the most pivotal scenes in the film. It's a short little scene, and I think everything hinges on this. Sully, who he is and what he does, hinges on this scene, this advice that he was given. No matter what's happening, fly the airplane. Things are going to go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
What does he say? A pilot never stops acquiring knowledge. You'll make mistakes. Everyone does. Just learn from them. What great advice that is. He doesn't say nobody makes mistakes or people that know what they're doing, they don't make mistakes, or I've never made a mistake. No, everybody makes mistakes. Just learn from them. And when something's going awry, something bad is happening in the plane, just fly it. Continue flying it. That's the best thing that you could do. What does Sully do? There's a problem with his jet. Two engines, the only two engines, are gone. What does he do? Does he panic and leave?
No.
Does he go running back down the aisleway to everybody? We're all going to die!
No.
No.
Does he waste time thumbing through the quick reference handbook?
He flies the plane no matter what happens, because he's got something that weighs heavy on him, and that is the passengers that are on there. After the rescue, everybody is, you have rescue workers running here and there, and you have confused and scared and freezing cold passengers, but you have Sully doing one thing and one thing only, and that is trying to get a head count.
Mm-hmm.
Did I lose anybody? And he knows that one of his stewardesses is injured. So as he's in the hospital room being checked out by the doctor, his question is, what about the stewardess? What about the stewardess? Oh, well, yeah, she got a laceration, and she'll have a scar, but a great story from it.
Fairly severe laceration, but we'll keep her a day or two to stem the infection.
But she'll be okay.
She'll have a scar and a hell of a story to tell. Although no one will believe her. Hell, I'm standing here with you right now, and I don't believe it. Landed a plane on the Hudson, not a scratch.
Arnie, the union is pulling out all the big guns today, huh?
Talk to Dan Brissilli. Got a count? 155.
155?
It's official. 155.
That's all he cared about.
Man.
That's all he was concerned about. Did I lose anybody? Did anybody die under my watch? No, not a single one. Not a single one. It was a miracle, this landing on the water. Not crashing into the water, landing on the water. This reminds me, Brendan, of the Ark, Noah's Ark. And we know that Jesus is the Ark. Jesus is the Ark. Let's read a little passage here out of 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to blast through this. This is verses 12 through 22 out of the NASB, the New American Standard Bible. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you're blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better if God should will it so that you suffer for doing what is right, rather than for doing what is wrong. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh and made alive in the spirit, in which he also went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah before the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him. There's three key things in there. Jesus might bring us to God, that on the ark, eight persons were brought safely to God, and this is done through the resurrection, of Jesus Christ, who's in power.
Mm-hmm.
He's the king. This is a great image of that. And when we get back on the other side of the break, I'm going to wrap it up, put a little bow on it, give you your key verse, and tell you how you can spread the good news of Jesus to your friends and loved ones by watching this fantastic film, Sully, starring Tom Hanks. More on the flip side, right here on Finding Christ in Cinema. For more of Finding Christ in Cinema, follow us on Twitter at Christ in Cinema and Facebook at facebook.com/Christ in Cinema. Welcome back to Finding Christ in Cinema. Today we are talking about the brand new film. Well, it was just released on home theater. You can get it on Blu-ray and DVD or streaming video on Amazon, Google Play, movies, wherever you watch your films. Tom Hanks in Sully, a biopic, right? Mm-hmm. A fantastic film. And as I was talking about before the break, a great picture of the Ark. Noah's Ark, where people were saved through the water, which is a picture of Jesus Christ. And we read a great passage out of 1 Peter chapter 3, but now let's go to Hebrews. And so let's see what the writer of Hebrews has to say in chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to read out of the NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version. Therefore, brothers and sisters, holy partners in a heavenly calling, consider that Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all of God's house. Yet Jesus is worthy of more glory than Moses, just as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now, Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to justify the things that would be spoken later. Christ, however, was faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if we hold firm the confidence and pride that belong to hope. 1 Peter chapter 3, again.
Hey.
Out of the New King James Version.
The Nikajava.
Verse 21, 1 Peter 3, 21. There is also an antitype. That's why I chose this version, because the word antitype, I could have used Young's Literal Translation, because it also uses antitype. It's just that everything else around it is a little bit harder to read.
Oh, well, there you go.
There is also an antitype, which now saves us. Baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Where I'm going with all of this, Brendan, is that Sully was faithful to his teacher,
mm-hmm.
his rabbi, that flight instructor, whatever you do, fly the plane. In these terrible consequences that nobody wants to be in. How many times in the film do we hear everybody lived?
What just happened?
You just got hugged by a total stranger.
Ah, come on, Sully. When's the last time you heard of someone landing a jet plane on the water and everybody lived?
Right? Baptism now saves us, not the removal of filth of the flesh, right? The water landing is what saved these people. But no, it's more than the water landing. It was the pilot. Jesus is our pilot. And he landed through that water, right? When we are baptized into him, mm-hmm. we are going inside this plane with Sully as the captain, and he's not going to lose one. None were lost. Every single person on that plane survived. Your key text, John chapter 10, verse 28, out of the NIV, the New International Version. You only have to remember this one verse, friends, as you are sitting on your
double-decker couch
with your friends or loved ones watching a fantastic film, Sully. John 10, verse 28 is what you remember. Jesus says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Sully is a picture of Jesus, and nobody perished. Oh. Questions, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off-the-wall remarks?
Nope.
No?
No.
Did it make sense?
It made sense.
Okay.
Man. It's all good. And I like this conversation about the ark. I think it's really cool. So if anything, there's my comment.
Oh, okay.
I thought that's a good analogy. So, hey.
I did too. That's what struck me.
Yeah.
I'm watching this movie. I was going in a different direction until this one point, and I go, "Wait a second. It's the ark."
Yep.
And Jesus is the ark.
I mean, there you go.
What do you got, Brendan? I know this is getting goody.
Yes, yes. Now, I would like to proffer the idea.
Yes.
I would like to put forth the idea that Sully wasn't born a savior.
Oh, okay.
He became one through intentional discipline and practice over time.
This is what we all need to learn. This is going to be good. Teach me.
This is, this is a lesson in virtue.
What is virtue?
What is virtue? Let's fill out the film just a little bit, and then we'll get to one of my favorite definitions of virtue.
All right.
We've already talked about this this conflict within the film. This main question: did Sully do the right thing by landing in the Hudson, or did he just go off on a whim, and whatever happened? that's obviously the angle that the investigators are trying to push. They're trying to
they're villains.
They're villains. Okay. Agree to disagree. But hey,
it's a trap.
No, it's not a trap.
Akbar, General Akbar.
There's this.
Settle down.
There's hey, never tell me the odds.
No,
you know what I mean.
Never tell me the odds.
There's this conflict between whether or not Sully did the right thing. It's this internal conflict. It's an external conflict. It's driving this film. And we get this nice little bit with Katie Couric. Now, one of the nightmares was also Katie Couric.
Yeah.
And I think we're led to believe that this was after the interview, which is what induced the nightmare. But there's this brief little quip where Katie Couric on the TV screen says, did you do the right thing?
Are you a hero or a fraud?
Or a fraud, yeah. And that's the kind of thing that's going on in his mind. But what we see, though, is a virtuous man who was disciplined and was able to practice intentionally his craft, his job, whatever you want to call it.
His vocation.
His vocation.
His mission.
So much so, yes, his mission. He was able to do that so much so over time that when it mattered, he was able to do the right thing by instinct through this second nature. Let's listen to this this interview with Katie Couric. This is after the event, obviously, but this scene is still ruminating in Sully's mind. Let's take a listen.
It was obvious. It was a critical situation. Losing thrust in both engines at a low altitude over one of the most densely populated areas of the planet.
But choosing to land on the Hudson, that was still a big if.
I was sure I could do it.
You were? How do you feel when people call you a hero?
I don't feel like a hero. I'm just a man who was doing his job.
The right man for the job at the right time. You've been flying for what, nearly 40 years?
42. It's been my life. My whole life.
Okay. Let's break it down just a little bit. Let's break it down.
Break it down.
She says, well, that was still a big if. Well, I was sure that I could do it. And this confidence that we see in Sully, to some, appears as cockiness.
Arrogance.
Arrogance, pride. And in fact, that's what the investigators are all pushing him for. It's like, is this a pride issue thing? Are you just overly confident? They're asking him all these questions, and yet, is it just right from someone with a second nature? It's just a habit. It's just when you know you can do something that you've worked at over time, of course you're going to respond, I just know. And for you, that's fine. But for those who don't know that about you, it's going to be hard to believe. Very hard to believe. Then he says, I don't feel like a hero. I'm just a man who was doing his job. Again, it already felt natural. It was instinct at this point in his life. He didn't have to think. He didn't have to do anything. He just had to do, no matter what, fly the plane.
Yes.
He just had to do that. And really just a quick break outside of the interview, when we get to the case at the end of the film, when Skiles, he's talking about having the quick reference handbook in his hands as Sully, and this is what I love, Sully is going through everything in that handbook minutes before Skiles even reads it.
He's reading the scripture?
Man, that, look at you. Sully is already turning the knobs, checking the ignition, hitting the APU. Sully's already doing this stuff while Skiles, and this is not to speak against Skiles as a character, he's just thumbing through the manual. He's thumbing through it. and he's looking for what to do. And then finally, when he gets to what Sully just did minutes before, he's like, check ignition. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you did that. Okay. It's this interesting
second
picture.
Second nature.
Second nature. It's become habit. It has become instinctual. I first want to look at Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. This is out of the NLT. How, the New Living Translation, right. By the way.
Yes. For our new listeners.
Yes, yes. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. And I've tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word.
This is what I was thinking of.
I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
You know, if I would have said that just a moment ago, you would have said, hey.
Yeah, I would have. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given us, and I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget about your word. Sully knows the word. He knows the words of the quick reference handbook.
Yes.
He knows the teaching of his mentor, of his teacher, of his discipler.
And he loves it because it makes him wise. Yeah. There you go. There's another.
He loves it. Yes. He already knows, and it's become a part of his second nature over time through trial and error, knowledge and wisdom, learning from mistakes. And I'm here to tell you that it's the same way when we have God's word on our hearts.
Amen! Preach it, brother!
I mean, I am.
Oh, wow! No, you need to get a little more fire in your...
Sorry, Church of Christ upbringing. Yes.
My little sinners in the hands of an angry God. Come on.
Hey, there you go. But no, but it's just, it's a very tight-knit parallel between the effects of having God's word written on our hearts over time. Let me now supplant the definition of virtue that has prompted this thought. It's from N.T. Wright, a former bishop of some I can't remember his credentials. Look
Canterbury?
Him up. No, not Canterbury. But look him up. He's a very, very wise guy. He's a wise guy. He's a wise guy.
Calling Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard.
No.
Oh, wise guy.
No, okay. Okay. Welcome
to Finding Christ in Cinema.
He's written books, Simply Jesus, Simply Christian. He's been compared to modern day.
Yeah, C.S. Lewis. We all know who N.T. Wright is. He is the leading authority on New Testament studies.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And here's how he defines virtue in his book, After You Believe. And I highly suggest this book to everyone. But this is the definition of virtue that he brings us. Virtue, he says, is what happens when someone has made 1,000 small choices requiring effort and concentration to do something which is good and right, but which doesn't come naturally. And then on the 1,001st time, when it really matters, they find that they do what's required automatically. Virtue is what happens when wise and courageous choices become second nature.
Oh, I see. Pretty good.
Thank you, Colonel. It's the fruit. It's the result. It's the aftermath of this lifetime. These 42 years, he says, 42 years, it's been my life, my whole life. He's had time to fall and stumble and get back up and learn from those mistakes. He's even, let's just say he is walking in the light. You know what I mean?
I do.
Let's just say he is walking in the light. He's had time to stumble. He's had time to learn. And he's had time to get on with it, to move on, to pick himself back up, to learn from his mistakes. It's this second nature that is the result of discipline.
Yes.
Practice intentionally.
Yes.
Over time. Not
purposefully.
Purposefully. Not just saying, oh, it feels right. Oh, yeah. Because to someone who hasn't.
If it feels right, do it.
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
I feel like landing the plane in the Hudson. So I'm going to?
Yeah. That's what, well, see, to the outsider, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
In this film, when Sully says stuff like that, that's all their disbeliefs just shoot right up.
Yeah.
And they can't see Sully for who he is, a virtuous man. Paul puts it like this to the Galatians, chapter 3, verse 27. If I can scroll down to it and not lose my spot.
You can. Sorry. You can do it.
Sorry, guys.
I believe that you can do it.
So who wants to write a guerrilla movie?
Also from the New Living Translation. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism, that same baptism that you were just talking about, have put on Christ like putting on new clothes.
New clothes.
But here's the thing about those new clothes.
Hmm.
We've got to grow into them.
Hmm.
They're going to be a little bit too big for us when we first put them on.
That's where sanctification comes in.
That's, Bubba, what you said.
Yes.
What you said.
And we have covered that extensively on Finding Christ in Cinema.
Mm-hmm. Especially with Back to the Future.
Yes. Marty McFly and his eyebrows.
Marty McBride, weren't you?
We're both sanctified.
That's right. Both of his eyebrows.
All three of them.
Not just one.
Oh.
Not just two, but all three of them. It's about the second nature. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that you can be virtuous. You can be a virtuous man without God. You can be a virtuous person without God. But when you have God written on your heart, that's when true virtue, I think, really shines through and really serves as a witness and a testimony to those outside the faith.
Yes. Yes.
Because
yes.
That is
letting your light shine. That is being salt. Oh,
I was just about to say that.
Well, gosh.
That is what Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount, letting your light shine before men, not so that they can look at you and say, oh, what a good guy he is, but look at you and say, oh, what a good God he follows.
Amen.
It's that angled mirror Amen. Approach. Bubba, I'm telling
you. And what earthly good is Sully performing for 155 souls?
He saved their lives.
Yes.
Man, okay, I'm done.
That's it?
That's it, buddy. That's it.
That's awesome.
Did I lay it out?
Oh, man.
Did I lay it out? Okay.
I think you get a...
Oh, thank you.
You get a point for that.
You
get a point. That's excellent. What a fantastic film for sharing the gospel, for sharing the good news, for sharing the walk, for shining the light, for angling that mirror to point right up to God. You know, everybody, you must watch Sully. You must watch it with friends and loved ones. And mm-hmm. now you could just bring it. Hey, you know what? That reminds me of Jesus. What? In what way? You have an opportunity now. You have a tool, and you're going to get one of, you know, three or four different reactions. One's going to be so. Oh, the other one is going to be, that's interesting. Another one's going to be, what do you mean?
Tell me more.
Yeah, tell me more. We're hoping for that.
Yeah.
Plant a seed using Sully, or water a seed that has already been planted by Sully, but God will cause the increase.
What's it time for?
It's time for, I don't know. Let's
Who
go.
Who is that?
It is I!
No, it's not the time for the lightning round. That comes later.
I don't think Bane even really pays attention to what's going on the show.
I don't think he does.
He pops in at the wrongest of all times.
He's
wrongest.
He's too busy offering free back massages.
Yes.
What I hear.
No, it is time to go to patron St. Philip Presents King Philip's Stables of Doom. He left a comment on our last episode, number 128. That was Super 8. Super 8, yes. And you can find out more about that at ChristInCinema.com.
He says, hey guys, glad you covered Super 8, which is an all-time favorite of mine.
Yes, he recommended it.
He did recommend it.
Yes.
One thing
it's
I get
a favorite
from,
of mine, too, now.
Hey, get out of here. One thing I get from the film is in regards to Philippians 3, verses 10 through 14. Quote, my aim is to know him, to experience the power of his resurrection, to share in his sufferings, and to be like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained this, that is, I have not already been perfected, but I strive to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus, has also laid hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have attained this. Instead, I am single-minded, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching out for the things that are ahead. With this goal in mind, I strive toward the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And that's out of the New English Translation. Philip continues, while we all experience pain and suffering, it's so important to keep living for God, to not be held captive by the tragedies of our past.
Amen!
And that shines perfectly through Super 8, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yes. Love the show, guys. Hashtag,
excellent feedback, as always. And, Philip, thank you for bringing the passage from Philippians. Patron Saint Philippians.
That's why I did it.
Yeah, that's why he always goes to the Philippians.
That's right.
Now I figured it out.
We've cracked the Philip code.
Always looking forward to his feedback here on Finding Christ in Cinema. Oh, where is it time to go to? Potatoes Red Oak Treehouse. Once again, Potatoes Patron Saint Ron. Has sent in an email to us at fcc@gctnetwork.com. Superior 8 says, greetings and felicitations, Michael and Brendan. Thanks for another incredible job digging deeply and tunneling through the movie Super 8. I, too, was fond of this movie as it was a trip down memory lane. It reminded me a lot of E.T. As you stated, one must be mindful of the language with this. Yes, language. However, as he continues on, but your research and analysis was enough to overcome any negative elements. In other words, here's an interjection. We redeemed it for Christ. I think we redeemed that film.
Hey, there you go.
We'll take that. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Because we can use... Okay, getting back to Ron's. any negative elements. Once again, thanks for your dedication to your craft. Guys, did you notice that our own Sheriff Deputy Jackson Lamb... played by the same guy from the TV show Early Edition, who is so rigidly unforgiving, is the lawman. Which I believe he wasn't always such. One day he was born as a baby lamb, but had grown up into the lawman we see in the film. Something happened to make him this way. Let us all strive to have compassion and not become hard-hearted or unforgiving. I now follow this up with Joe Lamb, or Young Man of Mercy, who doesn't get his father, the lawman. There's something to mercy and compassion not getting on well with Mr. Legality. Oh my goodness! Ron, you get a point on that one.
That's genius. I don't know what to tell you.
Charlie's family reminded me of the Weasley family from Harry Potter in their care for another child in need and in the pleasant chaos of family life.
Mm-hmm.
Great show, as always. All the best.
Ron Potatoes.
Oh, postscript. Note that in this movie, as in life, drug use takes you out of the real action and in the end can make you a laughingstock. Just saying.
Just saying.
Excellent points from both of our patron saints. We don't have time to go in and let you all know what a patron saint is, but we'll do that here sometime in the very near future.
That's right.
Now it is time for Brendan. Do you have a lost update? Where am I?
As a part of the well-mannered frivolity.
Yes. Oh.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Finished up.
Well-mannered. Frivolity.
Thank you, Minerva. Yes, thank you. Finish up season 5.
Okay.
And in the words of Bing Crosby, what a slam bang finish.
I love Bing Crosby. Huzzah!
So we meet Jacob. Jacob meets the Oceanic Six in very important moments in their lives. John convinces Ben to kill Jacob, but John's not really John.
What?
Ben kills Jacob anyway, and Juliet brings the house down. Literally, detonate the bomb. And then it's just white.
Oh.
I love that. I just love it so much.
Big cliffhanger.
Oh, goodness gracious. So that's
what else? That's it?
Oh, hey. I'm also going to be in a 54-hour film festival next weekend.
Drink a lot of coffee, brother.
Hey, what you said.
Wow.
What you said. But it's with Sir Richard the Lionheart.
Hey, FCC's very own. Awesome.
He's directing. I'm writing. I'm acting this time.
Cool.
I get to act.
It's about time.
And there's a big difference between stage acting and film acting. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay. Brendan, what's coming up on Finding Christ in Cinema?
Next week, we've got The Jungle Book.
Yay! Jon Favreau.
Yes. And then after that, we've got Arrival.
Yes.
Doctor Strange. We're looking at a classic like Roman Holiday. We've got the BFG coming up. We've got Fantastic Beasts.
Hey, whatever happens, it's right here. Finding Christ in Cinema is in the GCT Network studio each Saturday, Lord willing, at around 1 p.m. Eastern Time. You can join us for live video on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Christ in Cinema. Finding Christ in Cinema is part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, a listener-supported ministry using new media and social networking to equip and encourage you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. To witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational digital ministry, including all 129 episodes of Finding Christ in Cinema and the list of films we've covered, get over to christincinema.com. You can send email, just like the patron Saint Ron did, to fcc@gctnetwork.com.
Call us up on the voice line at 507-407-GCTN. That's 507-407-4286. I really miss that other joke. If you want to listen to the podcast, we have iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play Music. Just search them all for Finding Christ in Cinema.
And for all the shows that we produce here at the Great Commission Transmission Network, including our brothers in Texas, the Theonauts, and our brand new super-duper secret Tolkien-centric show, The Secret Fire Podcast, get over to our official website at gctnetwork.com. Mr. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
It was tied to an airplane this time.
What a bunch of hippy-dippy baloney.
And that is... is a wrap.
It's pretty mind-blowing.
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission. This is your Great Commission transmission
at gctnetwork.com.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
I could have said flip side. Flip
stop.